Awesome. So Reed Moore is bringing the word tonight.
Awesome. All right. How many of you guys were at squad camp this week? Yeah. Come on. How many of you guys can testify that junior hires know how to get in the presence of God? That was good, man. It was like sticking your finger in a 220-volt socket of Jesusness. It was so good. Seriously, we had Pentecost Andrew Satterfield was just like, done. It was so good. And I'm just excited because the junior high ministry that is led by Reed Mariah Anderson and a lot of our leaders here is just ripping. Junior hires are totally just, they're going to pass you guys up. Sorry. It's good. Come on. That's what we want. Amen? That's some good stuff right there. I'm excited tonight. Tonight I have a good message. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
That's right. That's faith right there. I have a good message. I have a practical message because sometimes we just need some practical stuff of how to get through this Christian life. You know what I'm saying? Oh, okay. That's going to be back up there in just a second. If you got a Bible, turn with me to the book of Philippians. Philippians. It's kind of towards the back of your Bible-ish. This is one of my favorite verses in all the Bible. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians 3 verse 12. If you're there, say amen.
Amen.
If you're not, say wait.
Wait.
All right.
Amen.
All right. I think some of our waits turned to amens. Philippians chapter 3 verse 12. This is the Apostle Paul talking about his Christian life. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Say, press on.
Press on.
That I might lay hold of that which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. Brothers, I do not count myself to have apprehended it or gotten there. But one thing I do. Say one thing.
One thing.
One thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word, and I thank you tonight that you're going to give us tools to walk out this life, God. I thank you that you're not in the business of just sending us out there unequipped, God, but you want to equip us that we can walk in victory. God, and our lives can be successful in you. And so tonight, we just love you, and we thank you that you're going to equip us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so I was at this barbecue earlier this summer when it was a little bit sunnier. I don't know when that was, but anyway, my youngest son, this is my youngest son, Nathan. Isn't he cute? Awesome. Somebody hooked him with a bungee cord to, I think it was probably his older brother. That's what older brothers do. Amen? All right. I'm an older brother. Okay. And it was amazing because I'm watching him and he's kind of having a good time, but he's trying to get over to the table and over to the chairs and where all the food and stuff is. And he's just, he can't. Okay. He's hooked up. And I was looking at this, and it was cute, and I started thinking about it a day later, and I started thinking about us. I started thinking about, you know, some of the things that we go through as Christians. And so I titled this message, Three Steps Back and Three Steps Forward. Say that with me. Three steps back and three steps forward. I want to read to you guys a Bible story about a guy named Simon in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8. Let's start in verse 4. Now, Simon was a sorcerer, and we're going to read about that. And there's some interesting things about his life, and I think we can take some application tonight from it. The book of Acts chapter 8, starting in verse 4. Therefore, those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. Then Philip went down to a city in Samaria and preached Christ to them. And the multitudes with one accord heeded the things that were spoken by Philip. And hearing and seeing the miracles in which he did. For unclean spirits, crying with loud voices, came out of many who were possessed. And many who were paralyzed and lame were healed. That's a good day. And there was great joy in the city. But there was a certain man, say a certain man, called Simon, who previously practiced sorcery in the city, and astonished the people of Samaria, claiming that he was someone great. to whom they all gave heed from the least of them to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. And they heeded him because he had astonished them with his sorceries for a long time. But when they believed Philip, as he preached things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, both men and women were baptized. Verse 13, then Simon himself also believed. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and was amazed, seeing the miracles and the signs that were done. Verse 14, now then the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, and they sent Peter and John to them, who, when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as of yet, it had fallen on none of them. They only had been baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. And when Simon saw that through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Spirit was given, he offered them money, saying, give me this power also, that anyone whom I lay my hands on will receive the Holy Spirit. But Peter said to him, your money perish with you. The message said, the Message Bible says, to hell with your money and you too. Your money perish with you because you thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money. You have neither part nor portion in this matter, for your heart is not right in the sight of God. Repent, therefore, of this wickedness and pray that God if perhaps that your heart may be changed and you be forgiven. For I see that you are poisoned. Say poisoned. Poisoned by bitterness. Say bound. Bound by iniquity. If you have the NIV, it probably says sin instead of iniquity. It's the wrong word. It is iniquity. That's the right word there. There's a reason for that. It's amazing to me that there's this story of this man. Okay, this man is a sorcerer. Okay, he's not just your average guy hanging out in the world. He's a sorcerer. And he's known as the power of God. One translation says he's known as the power. He is the power known as the great power, which is kind of weird. But anyway, so this guy is known as the power of God, and he's a sorcerer. And you would think that when he gets saved and all this happens and he tries to buy the gift of God, that Peter would have said, I see that you're a sorcerer and your Ouija board and all these demons got you captive. And it would make sense to me, right? I mean, he's a sorcerer. You'd think that his sorcery was keeping him bound and poisoned, right? But it's not what the apostle says, is it? He says, you're poisoned by bitterness and you're bound by iniquity. Now, here's a reason this word iniquity actually means something here, is the word sin means to miss the mark, right? You can sin by falling short. You can sin by doing too much. You can sin by going to the right or to the left. You know, I mean, there's lots of ways to sin, right? Does that make sense to you guys? But the word iniquity actually means to do the opposite of what's right. It's an intentional not doing what's right. Okay, so sin can be iniquity, but iniquity is not exactly the same as sin. Does that make sense? Like your parents say, go clean your room. And so you go to clean your room and you decide, I'm not going to. Okay, that's iniquity. Okay, another word for that is it's unrighteousness. That's another way it's translated. Okay. So it's this idea that I know what to do here, but I decide to do the opposite thing. And so this sorcerer, the apostle said, was held bound by his desire to do the opposite thing. And says that his life was poisoned because of bitterness. Okay? So if you're taking notes tonight, I want to talk to you about sin. The more times I talk with people, the more I start to realize that sin has different levels of captivating our lives as Christians. Does that make sense to you? Sin has a way of getting a hold of us, and if it sticks around for a while, it has a way of capturing us. So I want to go to the book of James, James chapter 1, and I want to go through this. I want to say to you tonight that there's three different levels that sin grabs a hold of us. Okay, so this is going to be a little bit of teaching tonight. Say three steps back. Three steps back. The book of James, chapter 1, verse 12. Well, we're going to go down to verse 13. Let no one say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his or her own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, say fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Three different levels of sin. First is desire. I was looking at this picture here and I started realizing that there's a lot of similarities to sin in this picture. Three steps back. Paul says, I'm pressing forward to the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus, laying hold of that which Christ Jesus laid hold of me. That's right, me too. But there's a problem. Sometimes when I go to press on to the prize, I feel like it's a bungee run. I feel like I'm pressing to the prize just in time for whatever's behind me to grab me and yank me back. Anybody can testify to that?
Yeah.
I started realizing that this is sin in my life. And my desire is where it starts. Desire is an incredibly powerful thing. Desire, passion is another way to say it, zeal. It can consume you for God or for your flesh. Right? And when you have a desire in your life and you give yourself to that desire, then it becomes sin. And if you give yourself long enough to your sin, it produces death in your life. Now, listen, James is not talking to non-believers here. We're all like, oh, that's right, praise the Lord. You know, you live and you live in sin and you don't get saved and eventually your sin leads to death. Okay, yeah, we all get that. He's not talking to the lost. He's talking to you. He's talking to me. And he's saying, listen, Christian, when your desires come to full maturity, they give birth to sin in your life. And when sin matures, it brings death in your life. Does that make sense? How many of you guys have ever experienced death in an area of your life? You're going after purity with all your heart, but all of a sudden you find your legs straight up in the air and you're being pulled back into pornography. Okay, well, maybe a desire that you gave way to when you were 12 years old became sin, and maybe that sin grew up a little bit, and maybe as it grew up a little bit, that sin became death. And maybe now death reigns in the area of purity in your life. Could be, right? Maybe, you know, somewhere in the past you decided you were going to be rebellious, you know, and so you rebelled against your parents and your parents didn't discipline you or whatever. You thought, yeah, okay, I can get away with this. And now you're marked by being rebellious. Everything you do, it's just got that little, you know, somebody comes and says, hey, can you help me with this? And there's just that thing inside of you that's just like, no, who do you think I am? Your slave? And there's just that thing. And now what's happened inside of you is it's produced death. Does it make sense? There's three levels to sin: desire, sin, and death. But God's given us three steps to get out of sin. And this is what I want to, this is going to be kind of a shorter message tonight, but these are tools that you guys have to lay a hold of. Because we don't all do this well, and sometimes we go through like one step, but that step is only good enough to get rid of desire. That step is not good enough to go and to root out sin in your life. Or you go and you root out sin in your life, but it's too late because it's become death in your life. And so you need to know how to go and get death out of your life. Is that making sense? All right. So let's look at that. Go with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. You guys doing good? 2 Corinthians chapter 7. We're going to start in verse 9. Okay, so what happened? I'm going to give you guys a little context. In the book of 1 Corinthians, there was a young guy who was sleeping with his dad's wife. Not so good. Okay? Probably not his mom, probably his stepmom. That's what we hope. Okay? Oh, the filter just got it. All right. All right, so what happened in the book of 1 Corinthians is Paul had to say, listen, you guys got to get rid of this guy. You got to kick him out of the church, so that he'll be handed over to Satan, so he will repent and turn back and come back to me. That's what God was wanting to do. And so what happened was that this guy actually did repent, and he did come back to the church. And so Paul is just commenting on what happened here. And in verse 9 of chapter 7, he says this: "Now I rejoice that you were made sorry, but that your sorrow led to repentance." There's the first thing, repentance. "For you were made sorry in a godly manner, that you might suffer from us in nothing." Suffer loss from us in nothing. "For godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation." Same thing here. The context is not talking to non-believers. It's talking to you and me. This word salvation doesn't just mean being saved from death to life. It actually means being saved at all. If you got in a car accident and your seatbelt saved you, right, you would say that. "My seatbelt saved me." Okay? That's how he's using this word. Does that make sense? Godly sorrow produces repentance, and repentance in your life as a Christian leads to you being saved out of your desire, you could say. Not being regretted, not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. The first thing that happens in your life as a Christian is when you have a desire that starts to take hold of your life, you have to repent. Now, what the word repent means is it literally means to do a 180. Or the actual way of saying it is it means to change your mind. Okay? And so what happens is you have this kind of a situation. And here's what repentance is. Repentance is you look back and you see that you're hung up. Okay? And you see you're hung up. You acknowledge the fact that you're hung up. You don't lie to yourself. You don't lie to other people. You acknowledge it and you say, "God, I want to turn from this. I don't want this in my life." And if you're struggling with your desires, repentance is enough. Godly sorrow, you see what's happening to your life. You look back, there's sorrow. That sorrow births a changing of your mind. "I don't think I want to go there anymore. I don't think I want to do that anymore." And so repentance is the first step. Okay? Does that make sense? But repentance is not the only step. And see, this happens all the time. Listen to me, guys. And you guys know this inside. I'm going to show it to you in the Bible, but you know it inside. There's things that have gotten a hold of your life, and they're deeper than this. And you repent, 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 and nothing changes. Right?
Yeah.
That happens. There's something else that's got to happen in your life, because repentance gets rid of desire. You see that thing, you know, there's an image that flashes in your mind, and you break that thing off. Or you entertain it for a second, and you, "God, I repent. I don't want that." And you change your mind. You're about ready to step into that sin, and you say, "No." You change your mind. That's repentance. Same book, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I believe. Okay, so the first step forward is repentance. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. "Therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not lose heart." But, say but. "But we have renounced the hidden things of shame, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." So you repent and you repent and you repent and you repent and nothing changes. Well, you know what? There's a different piece of this puzzle. And that is you need to renounce the hidden things of shame in your heart. What does that mean? Well, repentance means changing your mind about it. Renouncing means disassociating yourself from it. It means, "I see this thing that wants to grab a hold of my life. That's not okay. I am not going to see it." Hey, Christians, you see this thing in my life right here? This thing that's in my life? This is not okay. That thing right there, I don't want anything to do with it. And you shine some light on that thing. And you renounce the hidden things of shame in your heart. Now, this is what it will do for you. If you renounce hidden things of shame in your heart, what does the scripture say? It says that we have this ministry. So it's talking about you as a leader, you as a minister. Now, as a minister, you are renouncing those hidden things of shame. You're not walking in craftiness. But it says this: "But by doing this, by manifestation of the truth, we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God." So you're not only the person that repents, but you're the person that renounces sin in your life. And what happens when you renounce sin in your life? Where's Jonathan Brady? You here? Where's my friend? There's a man of God. Jonathan Brady is a total Jesus freak.
Yeah. Yeah.
I love Jonathan Brady. We could do an altar call for Tibetan mice. And he would be like, as long as it means Jesus, I'm here.
Yeah.
And we're talking about this today. Where, you know, as a leader, as a person with influence, you have to, you know, when somebody gives an altar call and it hits you, you have to wrestle with that thing. Oh, man, are people going to look at me? Are they going to think I'm in some deep hidden sin?
Yeah.
Right? You got to fight with that thing. And if you decide to cover that thing up, there's no renouncing of that thing in your life. You might be repenting of that thing, but you haven't disassociated yourself with it.
Yeah.
And you're not commending yourself to other people because they might not really trust you because they don't really see anything real in your life. They start talking to you about a certain area and all of a sudden you just back off. You don't want anybody in there. And it's because it's still your pal. Okay? I don't like it. I changed my mind. That's wrong. But you're still in bed with it. Okay? It's right there next to you. I'll show you this again. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Chapter 10, verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to our flesh. For our weapons of warfare are not carnal. That means they're not of this world. They're not fleshly. But they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments. Another translation is casting down imaginations, guys. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. You renounce these things. And what happens when you renounce something out of your life? Now you have power over that thing to help other people get out of it. You're ready to punish all disobedience. You're not punishing disobedient people. Remember, your weapons are not fleshly. They're not about people. They're about spiritual strongholds, spiritual things. So the second level that you need to get used to is in your life, you need to get used to renouncing the hidden things of shame in your heart. And what this is like with this is now you haven't just turned around and said, hey, this thing that's here, this is wrong. I don't like this. God, forgive me for having this. It's no longer, God, forgive me for having this. But when you renounce, what you do is you grab that thing and you let it go.
Yeah. Yeah.
No longer are you in bed with that thing. No longer is that thing attached to you. You've renounced it. You've disassociated yourself with it. Does that make sense to you guys tonight?
Yeah.
And that is sufficient for the majority of things that you struggle with in your life. You find yourself repenting and repenting and repenting and still being in trouble. You need to start looking to disassociate yourself from that sin, from that thing. It's a spiritual thing. You have weapons, the Lord says. And those weapons are mighty. And this is something I used to do when I was young. I would have a flash of something I didn't want in my mind. I would just quote that scripture. These weapons of warfare are mighty for casting down imaginations. I would just cast it down. Like, you know, you just do. You just handle business. You know, you just get up in the devil's grill and you just deal with stuff. Right? You use the word. You quote the word. You just take care of business. Okay? There's a third step. Because sin doesn't have two steps, sin has three steps. Three steps back. Sin produces death. And death is a very, very scary thing. I've had death in my life as a Christian. And I would say that most of you have had death in some area of your life. And it's a feeling of hopelessness, of helplessness, of constant frustration. It can be all kinds of stuff. Now we go back to Simon the sorcerer. Simon. He wasn't dealing with desire. Simon wasn't dealing with sin. He was dealing with death in his life. Because what had happened is, in his life, he was poisoned and he was bound. Make sense? The bitterness that had taken root in his life had poisoned him. And listen, if this is you, here's what's going to happen. The rest of your Christian life is going to look great, and you go to minister, and everything you say, we'll just have a little bit of poison. So you start discipling people and they start getting a little bit rebellious. Okay? You start discipling people and they all turn out to have lust problems. Okay? Because what happens is there's just some poison in your well.
And that poison is from bitterness. Bitterness is from not letting things go in your past. Right? Or you can be bound by iniquity. In your life, you have intentionally, as a Christian, decided, this is what God wants me to do, I'm going to do this. Okay? And as soon as you do that, the devil says, thank you, you've given me license. He latches on to you, and you're his in that area. Because you've intentionally gone against the will of God. Now, I've done this more times than I could count. Just being honest with you. God says, do this. I think, I'm too tired. And I just purpose and choose to do this thing. I've done it. I've done it more than a few times, which is sad to say, but it's true. Here's what happens when death gets a hold of you. When death gets a hold of you, it creates a permanent place for that thing to come and grab you again and again and again. Death in your life is like having a big latch that all the devil has to do is reach out and grab. He's got a permanent place. Kind of like, ladies, if you have earrings, you have a permanent place. You can wake up every morning and just pop that thing in, right? It's a permanent hole, right? You don't have to wake up in the morning and put a new hole in every day when you go to get your thing, okay? So what happens when there's death in your life, the devil doesn't have to come and try to put a new hole in. He doesn't have to take all the time and effort to try to bring death there. It's already there. So as soon as you sin in that area that there's death, bam, he's got you. Because he's got a permanent hold in your life in that area. And so you repent and you renounce and you pull that thing off and you take a few steps forward and he's got you again. He pulls you three steps back. You guys know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
He reaches out and he just grabs you and you're his in that area. And you see it in your life. It might take a year to come back around. It might take a few months. But you're off running for Jesus. You're passionate for God. You're not living in sin. You're living in righteousness. And all of a sudden, you're flat on your face again. Well, it's because there's death in your life. He's got a permanent hook somewhere on the inside of you. Yeah? It's a permanent hook sometimes. And that's a real bad place to be because you find yourself going around in a circle just like a hamster on a wheel. And every time you start doing good for God, all of your friends can set their watch. Took them 2 weeks last time. I give them 2.5 this time. Took them 2 years. You know, I'll tell you what. I've seen young people's lives where I've seen them get rocked by God and fall back into the same sin enough times where I'll see 3 or 4 or 5 cycles. And I won't see a dealing with death in the life. And it's a sad thing. But I would never tell one of those young people this to their face, but I can just set my watch. And as sure as the summer's going to come, they're going to fall on their face again. It's just going to happen. Because it's a principle. You can't deal with desire and deal with sin and not deal with death if you have death in your body. Right? You can't deal with these two things and leave this third out. It won't work. So you have to deal with this third thing. The third tool that you have to have in your belt is you have to know how to break the power of sin in your life. You need to know how to repent, renounce, and break. Say it with me. Repent, renounce, and break. Here's what I want to do tonight. I want to deal with repenting and renouncing tonight. This is not the place that we can really deal with breaking stuff, okay? Now, here's something. I want to take you back to the book of Acts. Simon the Sorcerer, book of Acts, chapter 8. This is kind of heavy. You guys doing all right? It's kind of a little bit weighty. The book of Acts, chapter 8. I needed to get this on podcast because this is bread and butter as a Christian. You got to know how to do this stuff. Okay, if we go down... Acts chapter 8, verse 23. For I see that you are poisoned by bitterness and bound by iniquity. Then Simon answered and said, pray to the Lord for me, that none of these things which you have spoken may come upon me. When death is reigning in your life, it's a good time to ask for help in that area. And so tonight, you know, we can pray over you for death. You know, I mean, and it's effective sometimes. But the reality is this is a way better thing to deal with in a MyPod. Okay? This is a way better thing to deal with one-on-one with a leader. Because when you have death reigning in your life, a lot of times you need help. Because, you know, if he were to reach back there and try to, you know, pull that anchor out, it doesn't always work all that well. Does that make sense to you guys? And this is where we as the body of Christ have to trust each other and we have to work together. If you're a hand, you're a Christian, and you're cut off from the body, you're cut off from the head, you're cut off from the lifeblood. You got to be connected to somebody. And there's somebody in here that has something for you to help you break off death from your life. Right after Peter just nails this guy, he says, "You are bound, man. You got a permanent anchor in your life." His response to him is, "I need your help to get rid of it." Make sense? If you've never asked Jesus into your life, death is your permanent state. There is no being hooked up to anything because you don't even have legs to run. If you've never bowed your knee to Jesus Christ, you've never made him Lord and Master, then tonight you have a chance to have life instead of death. That's what he died for. He died your death so that you could live. That's the simplicity of what we teach, of what we preach. You deserve to die. He died for you. It's just that simple. If you have never turned to him as your Lord and Master, I just want you to raise your hand right now. Raise it high. Never happened. Awesome. Praise God. Here's what I want to deal with tonight. If you have an area in your life that's desire, and that desire is just becoming too consuming in your life tonight, then it's time to repent. Okay? I'm not going to be watching you. Oh, praise the Lord, that person came up forward because of me. I know they, you know, it's just, no. Okay? It's you and God. If you have a desire that's starting to overrun your life, you need to repent. Here's a good place to do it. If your desire has turned to a pattern of sin in your life, tonight is a good time to repent and to renounce, to disassociate yourself from that sin. Maybe you need to tell a leader tonight, "Hey, every night I go home, I got some Jack Daniels under the bed," you know, whatever it is. Okay? You're just, that sin in your life is on its way to death. Okay, you know it. I'm not telling you something new in your soul. You know that some of the things that you're doing are producing death in you. Okay? If you are here tonight and you need to repent or you need to renounce, I want you to come forward right now. Just real quick. Just come forward. There's a lot more of you. Come on. There you go. You need to repent or you need to renounce. If you're here tonight and there's death that's reigning inside of you, I want you to come forward too. But I don't want you to come forward and think that you're just going to deal with that up here. Now, the Lord might do it. He's sovereign. He's awesome. He's wonderful. I'm wanting to. I'm expecting him to. But you don't need to lie to yourself tonight. You don't need to get an emotional fixation. You need to get plugged in with people that love you, that can help you get that permanent hook out of your life. So that's you tonight. I want you to come forward. You got something in your life and it just draws you back over and over again, and you can't beat it. You repent, you love Jesus, you renounce, and it just grabs you again. That's you. Awesome. Love you guys tonight. We are so in the same boat together. These three things, repenting, renouncing, and breaking, you have to learn them as a Christian. It's your bread and butter. It's what will keep your head above water. Before we go into worship, I just want to say, if you have stuff to deal with, you need to get plugged into a community. Now, listen, I love sports. I love all kinds of different stuff. There's nothing more important than your soul. You can't live life with death living inside of you. I don't care what you have to give up. You got to get that stuff right, or it's going to eat you alive. It's not worth living that way. We're just going to be into worship. Leaders, if you want to come and just pray with people that are up here, I don't want you guys to just depend on leaders tonight. These are your tools. They're not my tools. They're your tools. You can repent and you can renounce. You can do those things. Okay? So I want you to focus on that. We're going to pray for you. We're going to believe God with you. We're going to give you some power, just some supernatural Holy Spirit backing. But you got to deal with stuff, because tomorrow you got to live your life without me. but that's good. That's okay. I'm not all that important. You got to live it with Him and with the principles He gives. Amen? Let's pray. Spirit of God, tonight, You are the one who heals the heart. You are the one that meets every need. God, You are the one that allows us even to be able to turn. And God, right now, we turn. And we say, this thing that's got me, I don't want it. It's not okay. God, forgive me for letting it be there. And God, tonight we say, this thing that's got me, I grab that thing and I pull it off. That thing that lived in my life and held me bound right now, I declare before the world, this is what it was, and it doesn't have me anymore. And God, tonight I'm asking that You would heal us, that You would do a deeper work than just an emotional experience tonight, God. Yeah. But these tools we would lay hold of, and we would start moving these areas, these mountains in our life. Come on, right now, be honest with yourself. Be honest with the Lord. You're not going to tell Him anything that's going to burn His ears. You're not going to tell Him anything that He doesn't already know. You just get real with Him right now.